Welcome everyone to Topps Daily Grind. We've graduated to a whole new level.
Should we just sit here awkwardly?
Oh, that's the worst idea.
Everybody said bring an expert, and we brought an expert.
You guys got a new intro?
No, we're not doing the podcast anymore.
Yeah, you all started out really strong, and then it derailed really quick. I'm like,
this is going to be the last time you hear this. Hey, Craig.
All right, everybody. Welcome to Topps Daily Grind. This is episode number 151. We're here today with Teton Leather Company, Francesca and Zach, and we're going to talk about all sorts of stuff. So, welcome.
Water.
Yes,
thank you.
Welcome. We're going to talk about water.
Yep. Yes, we're going to talk about water. All sorts of stuff and water.
Here you go.
Mostly water.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, yes.
Here's a coaster.
I lost my sticker already. Perfect. I need another sticker.
We'll find it. Yeah, I'm sure we'll find it. Yes, so welcome to the show. You guys are the owners and operators of Teton Leather Company.
Very much.
So tell us about, give us like the rundown. Who are you? Where, like, what brought you here?
So we have been, doing leather work for 7 years now. Wow, I sound really loud in my own ear. It's horrendous.
You'll get used to it.
You have
it's
to listen.
Number three if you want to turn it down a little bit.
Number three.
No. On the knobs.
On these knobs.
Number three.
No, I'm not going to touch that.
Number three, there you go.
Anyways.
Just turn it down a little bit.
Is that better?
Is that better?
It
is a little better. Yeah. You do. Oh, ooh. Yes.
Right there?
Perfection.
Okay.
We've been doing leather work officially as a business for 7 years. I started as a custom bladesmith. Enjoyed it very, very, very much. And then one day I had a client come to me and he was like, hey, I have a knife it was like a $4,000 Bowie. Like, can you make a sheath for it? Someone else had made the knife. I was like, Alex, I don't do that. But I don't say no to a challenge. So he sent it to me and he was like, sky's the limit. Charge me whatever. Make me a sheath. I have no opinion. Just make whatever you want. So I had kind of messed around with like a few basic sheaths, but nothing good. And so here I have this super expensive Bowie. And I told him like $300 for a custom sheath, like a really nice custom sheath. I didn't make any money on the thing.
So if you guys are listening to this, $300 for a really nice. I'm just
kidding. Yeah, no, by the way. So I had no idea. And so I made this sheath for him and I screwed it up a bunch of times. I had to like throw it away. It was trash. And finally, I think it was like fourth or fifth time, I finished it. And I had screwed up the last two times, like right at the very end. I was so done with it. So I finished the thing and I set it down next to the buoy and I was like, oh my gosh, Zach, what was in my head is on the table. Like, I'm doing leather work. This is life changing. Like, I have to do this. Like, this is so cool. So I kind of just didn't look back from there. I went from bladesmithing to leather work and, Zach was working as an electrician at the time, but I'm a crazy person. So I was like, hey, you have a stable job. Do you want to not have that stable job and do this with me instead? And we have a new baby. And he said, yes.
So you completely stopped what you guys were doing. Just said, all right, let's focus 100% on this and let's see what happens. Or did you guys have something, a plan?
I think
I got it. I got it.
When we first started,
no plan.
Like, yeah. I was still an electrician and we had a small shed on our property. We were still living in California. And, you know, we'd go in there, work after hours, helping out weekends, and just slowly accumulated business.
Was that where you guys are both from California?
I was born there, yeah. She's been all over.
Yeah, I've lived all over the place, but mostly grew up in Northern California.
So, Idaho.
It's safe and it's cheap and it's kind of pretty.
Yeah, when we decided to move
here. But the winter sucks, so don't come here.
Yeah, it is like 19 months of winter.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not cheap anymore, so that one's gone.
That's also true.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah, so really, we started out and I was helping Francesca. She was doing the sheaths. I was making wallets and belts, bags. And it just kept snowballing. And then when we moved to Idaho, there's just kind of this point where the way that California you can be an electrician and be an electrician here in Idaho. The paths are kind of separate. And if you aren't on, like, they don't really connect. So I was going to have to go from being a year four apprentice. So I was going to get my journeyman like the next year to having to go back to be a year one apprentice.
Really? It's that different?
Yeah. Well, because in California, because my dad was an electrician and a general contractor, like, you can accrue hours working, you know, for your family business. Whereas here, all those hours would go away.
Oh, okay.
So I'd have to start back over.
Okay. So all of that didn't even count.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't want to go back to doing that. So it's like, all right, we're all in. So there was no other point that we're going to continue at both paths at the same time. I was like, okay, we're doing leather. And it just kind of skyrocketed from there.
So when you made that sheath, was that the first sheath that you'd made? Like the first leather sheath you'd made?
I had done sheaths for my custom knives that I had made.
Okay.
But I mean, we're talking like a super low number, and they were all, they looked exactly the same. There was no creativity. It was like,
you just needed something.
I needed something to send with the knife.
Gotcha.
It wasn't even a thought. It was like, make the sheath.
Completely an afterthought.
Yes.
Were you selling your knives that you were making?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was that your job, or was it a part-time thing at that time?
It was a part-time thing. So I started working at 12. I started doing website design, and I had watched a guy that had come over, and he had done my parents' website, and I was like, this guy sucks. Like, I can't believe you're paying him like $45 an hour. And that was 13 years ago. And I was like, that was 15 years ago. How old am I? I don't know. It was a long time ago. A while. Over a decade. So
everybody's doing the math right
now.
Yeah,
I'm under 30, but not by much. So I had watched, I was a little kid watching over this guy's shoulder, and I'm like, I could do better than that. And my parents were like, no, stop. Just shush. So I had stayed up late that night that the guy left, and I was like, built my parents a website, and the next day they fired that guy, and we're like, yeah, you can run our website. You'll get 5% of all sales through the website. And so I would have my mom drop me off at businesses, and I would go in and have meetings with them and, like, you know, give them bids for their websites. And so I started building clients, and that was what I had done. It's not, I mean, I was a kid. I didn't need a whole lot of money, but it was a good income. My hourly wage was great. So that's what I did for the most part. And then bladesmithing was like more of a passion.
Your dad was a bladesmith, right?
Yeah.
Master
bladesmith. Yep. That was kind of like anything artistic, very passionate about. So it was a really good outlet for me, but I didn't want it to be something I had to rely on for like my fun money. So,
gotcha. You know,
yeah.
And then when you started working on like wallets and belts and stuff, was that after you guys were like, you're like, this is what we're doing, and then you learned how, or did you have some experience doing
that?
No,
we'd been doing it for like 2 years.
Okay.
By that point.
Gotcha.
So all the time that we were in California. So,
but it was a pretty limited work stream. It wasn't like there was like a ton. We didn't come into it with really any background or like experience. We are entirely self-taught, so there was a lot of like, okay, Zach, you sold this wallet, now we can afford to buy this alligator hide. And I mean, it was literally like built hide by hide by hide. And we got married super young. We didn't have like a lot coming into it, so it has been a uphill climb with a lot of momentum.
So, okay. So you've been doing it for about 7 years. COVID hits. You're like 3-4 years into it. Does that screw things up for you, or does it get better then? Like what happens when that starts going down?
I think there was a good 6 weeks where it's kind of slow, like right in the beginning. Cause like no one really knew what was, you know, if the world was ending, if, you know, the apocalypse was starting
weird,
or whatever else happened. But as soon as people figured out like, okay, like we're just going to have to deal with this, orders just exploded. Everyone started getting COVID money, and things just started getting really busy. And that's when we hired our first employee.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So in 2020 then.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And when did you guys move from California to Idaho?
2018. So there's quite a few reasons. A lot of like the dyes, like, and just different materials that we could use. It was a lot harder to get in California. Like a strange one was kangaroo leather.
Yeah.
Yep. You can't get it in California.
It's illegal in California. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, a lot of the dyes are too, right? Like most of the alcohol based dyes, you can't even order online and ship them to California.
Yeah, exactly. So we knew long-term it was not going to be a place that we could run things. And obviously here we could come at the time and buy a house and keep our bills low as we were able to grow the business. So,
and when we moved here, we had a 2-year-old and we're starting a new business. So it was like, we're just diving in.
Yeah. Dang. You guys just went for it.
Yes, we did. Definitely stressful.
Do you still make blades on the side?
So I actually just had a bladesmith. You guys know who Neil Kemimura is?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's a good friend of mine. He just called me last week and he's like, so when are you going to get back to bladesmithing? So it's, I actually have a blade I forged with him sitting in my desk back at the shop that I need to finish. So I'd love to, you know, but it's a whole setup. You guys know, like it takes a lot of equipment. So it's on my list, but it's not like happening right now.
It's not really a priority.
No. Gotcha.
We're getting closer because we just moved our shop into a commercial space and it had slowly taken over every inch of our house. It went from just being in our basement to then taking up our entire garage and then taking up one of the rooms in our upstairs. So now that's all out. And so it wouldn't surprise me if you start to slowly get...
Turn that garage into a shop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For bladesmithing.
I'm trying not to be like that person, you know, that has like the one hobby and then the next hobby and then the next, and then like take over their...
But I think the bladesmithing and what you guys do now will actually be like an extra.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. Well, they go hand in hand. So.
Mm-hmm. They do.
Yeah.
They do. So it would be, you know, like a custom piece, like, you know, dedicated just to custom.
Yeah.
Like one of a kind and charge money for them.
I just have to contain my excitement because I'll be like, Zach, I bought a forge, you know, zero warning.
Does this happen often? Because you don't even look fazed when she says stuff like that.
Yeah, no.
They're like, you don't even react. It's just like no reaction.
It's been a roller coaster where every few months there's some piece of equipment. There's always something we're buying, you know. And the answer is always yes. New sewing machine, laser.
Oh man,
whatever we need.
At least it went well.
Is there something you guys bought that you're like, that you never used? That you're like, what the hell was this for?
Oh man,
that sounds like that sounds like a yes.
It does sound like a yes. Yeah. I was expecting a no, but
I'm not happy with the laser we bought.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
What type of laser is it?
It's like the Glowforge.
Oh, okay.
It's a CO2 laser, but like...
It's like, I think it's like the one that Caesar has in his...
If you use our code, you'll get $500, and so will I, but you'll hate me because you'll have a Glowforge.
Well,
oh, it's, man, terrible. I'm sorry.
It's terrible.
Is the power too weak or...
No, like, it's not that. It's, you don't own your software. Yeah. You have to rent your software
from them.
Yeah, so like if they ever go under, you know, we got a $7,000 laser that's dead. So I didn't know that till after we bought it. I never would have bought them if
and
I
you
knew
can't
that.
Sell it. You can't sell your laser. Who do we hear
you
this
can't
from?
Resell the laser?
No, they'll shut it down because they don't want them. They want people buying like from them. So like somebody said
sketchy.
Yeah.
They had sold theirs and like they came in and shut down their account. Watch, they're going to do it to us now.
There's no third party software that
not that I've seen.
Can you jailbreak it like an iPhone kind of thing?
It'd probably be worth looking into it.
It would probably transform.
We got a Universal.
Like,
they're out of Nampa, right? They're out of Nampa. We've never really had any issues, right?
And it's everything been, is
no.
We've had to replace some parts, but it's all stuff that wears out anyway.
Yeah, but like,
The actual machine works perfectly. It's flawless. It works really great, but the software part I never would have.
So what's the subscription price for that?
Like, I think it's like $60 a month.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that sucks.
For mediocre software.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
That definitely
sucks.
But
we bought it 3 years ago. It's an entry level laser, you know.
And are you using it more for like marking or are you cutting parts?
Prototypes.
Okay.
You know, so I'll use like a drafting software, anything. To prototype everything, and then it goes from there onto the Glowforge. We cut it out, and then later on, once we have our designs in place, then we'll get a die shop to actually make up steel dies for our clicker press that we have.
Gotcha.
So those are CO2 lasers, right?
Yeah. Glowforge? I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Do you guys cut leather as well, like for prototyping? Does it smell super bad?
It has a vent that goes outside.
So you guys don't smell it that much?
No.
If it's not vented, it smells like a dental office.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've
made that mistake of, even though it's vented, it's good ventilation, like the ones we have here, like as soon as you touch it, like that smell stays in your fingers and it's
terrible. Yeah.
Fun fact about leather, you can actually smell the animal it comes from. Mm-hmm. So,
really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They each smell different.
Yes. Yep.
Which one smells the worst?
Well, the one that is the easiest to tell is shark leather because it smells like the ocean.
Not really in a good way. Not in a good way.
Like dirty ocean.
Like a wharf.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. Like dead fish everywhere.
Are you going to go home and smell all your leather, Craig?
Probably. Probably be like, this smells like this.
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably not.
Don't smell your couch.
I'm not good at that. I'm not like a sommelier.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
Can you smell that couch? and that rug?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's not alive.
It's not alive anymore.
If she's peeling the skin off of it, it's got to be dead.
That's some sick, twisted crap.
I think what he meant was, is it a real snake?
No, it's a nerve reaction. Like, you know, you cut like a, yeah.
No. Yeah. Spiders have that same kind of thing.
Frogs.
Fish do.
Spiders do?
Yeah, frogs do. Yeah.
Really?
Some spiders, after they're dead, will still twitch. Their legs will still twitch and shit.
Yeah, frogs, even when you're cooking them, like you're cooking, okay, they start moving, like trying to get away from the heat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me peeling the skin off of a snake. I got a lot of flack for that. Actually, a ton of people were like, oh my gosh, it's alive. That's so cruel.
Oh, because it moved?
It's like, did you go to, like, I don't know, school? Yeah. Did you have a brain? Yeah.
Do you know anything?
Yes. No.
Did you?
I just burned you and I didn't even mean to.
Yeah, that was pretty
sad. You brought me water and a chair and I burned you.
John, do you want to come and retort?
No,
he's got you want to come defend your position? No,
he has no defense.
You don't know what retort meant.
You want me to clean the bathroom?
So shark smells the worst.
Yeah,
I would say so.
Yeah. What about those beaver tails? Do they smell pretty bad too?
No,
that seems like something that wouldn't smell good.
I don't think they smell bad.
Yeah, no, I don't think they have a smell at all.
No.
I guess sharks probably the worst. Hippo smells.
Yeah, hippo is stanky.
Elephant leather smells as well.
The elephant is real stanky.
I've never smelled an elephant close up, but...
What's the animal that smells like popcorn?
What?
Huh?
There's an animal that smells like popcorn.
Your mom?
When you...
Wow. Out of nowhere.
Damn.
Sure.
I'm sorry.
But the worst like person you could have
like when you burn
to.
It or
yeah. What's that?
Like when you burn it, like when you cut it with a laser or just in general it smells
general.
Like popcorn.
In general.
Really?
Mm. I don't know what that would be.
Yeah, let me look it up.
Hey, Susan's totally offended.
Is
right
this
now.
A, I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Sure. Yeah, that.
But I love you big.
Yeah.
Man.
Sure. Yeah. I'll look it up.
Okay.
I don't know if is that a known thing? Am I supposed to know what this is?
I don't know. I've never heard that.
I don't know, but that's going to be your next wallet.
Yeah.
The popcorn.
Yeah. Shop's going to smell like
popcorn. Yeah, the leather that smells like popcorn. Yeah, it's weird that I would think beaver tail would stink. Like, have you ever smelled a beaver?
Like, I think it's like the scent gland inside.
Yeah, the casters they have. Man. That shit is strong. I have a buddy that traps them, and he has, like, he'll use the casters as scent to trap other beavers, and so he'll collect his own stuff to use as scent. I don't understand how he does it. It smells so bad.
Does it really?
It's gross.
I'm supposed to go beaver trapping this winter.
Yeah, you'll smell it.
I think you're gonna
you'll definitely
to.
Smell it. If you find the, especially like the way he, I don't know if I'm giving out trapping secrets here or not. I doubt
you're
it.
Probably, yeah, but like, Scott, you'll hear from
a lot of the, yeah, if I am, he'll let me know. But where they like slide in and out of the water, a lot of times they'll set traps there and they'll use that caster scent there. And so that's where you'll actually smell it from the animals there too, because they're sliding over the casters as they go in. And
that's so weird.
It's bad. It's just gross. Huh. I don't even know how to describe it. It's just wet shit. Like, it's
you know
gross.
What's super stinky is iguana.
Oh,
they
really?
Stink.
Yeah.
Oh man, they stink.
Have you guys
so
ever
bad.
Ate iguana?
No, I haven't eaten it. When we were in Florida, really is it? You know, I've heard that it's good, but like,
there's so much protein in that thing that you got to be careful because it's.
I don't know. When we were in Florida, we were skinning them out, and like the odor, it's like cutting an onion. Like your hands smell like onion afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
The fat on that big male iguana was just like super yellow and dense, and it permeated everything. Yeah, they are stinky.
So it's the insides that smell. It's not it's not the skin itself. It's
no, not the skin, but just like the innards and all the fat surrounding the organs is like the nastiest thing you've ever smelled.
What do you call them? The big iguanas, the mouse, are they called panchos?
I'm not sure.
I think.
What?
This God, that's a different species of lizard.
So it's like Komodo dragons, like cousins.
So yeah,
brother.
It's a reptile, so you got that.
Close.
It's the binturong is the one that smells like popcorn.
But the what?
Binturong.
What's binturong? That? I don't even know what kind of animal is that. Yeah. I don't even know what that is.
It's almost like a ferret.
Oh, that's like a real ugly ferret.
Yeah.
Interesting. Oh.
That's cool.
I've never even heard of that.
I haven't either. What a weird thing. You know. Yeah. Learning things.
Oh, yeah. Those are ugly. Yeah, that's ugly. Look. Not a cute animal.
No, not at all.
So kill it.
Sell popcorn smelling. Kill it.
I could, I would.
Popcorn smelling leather wallets.
Also known as a bear cat. Have you ever heard of a bear cat?
Okay, now
I
that
have heard
name
of a bear cat.
I still haven't even heard of that.
Oh. I've never heard of a bear cat. I've heard of a bear and a cat.
Yeah.
Well. They got together, made that ugly thing.
Yeah, they must have.
Yeah, they really did.
Looking thing.
If you look at it, it does look like a bear cat.
It does kind of look like a bear cat.
Hmm.
I get it.
Bear cat sounds cuter than it looks.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah,
it really does.
Oh, man.
Did you bring any of your leather stuff, Craig, so that they can
no, I didn't want to make, look at I did not want to make any of this about me.
Why not?
Because... We're talking to them.
What leather stuff do you
have? I know,
have?
But they're experts.
You make leather stuff?
Everybody here owns something that Craig's made.
Mm? Oh, that's cool. I don't. Yeah. So everybody here. Come on, man.
You know what?
Ouch.
I'm offended.
Yeah, this
don't look down, Craig.
My empty wallet that's got no money in it.
Craig's like peeking.
Definitely not.
I like how we've been hanging out with you all day and you haven't said a word of this.
Well, I don't want to, like... I don't know.
Probably the things he's asking
like
you,
I said,
he
I
knows,
don't wanna...
he just wants to see if you know.
You don't have, no? like,
he hasn't asked us anything about leather, actually.
Oh, man.
That knife that was sitting on my desk that you picked up with a wood handle, that's a skiving knife that I was making.
I know it is.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm making it for
me. I didn't know why you were making it.
I'm making it for me, yeah. Because, oh, okay. Like I say, I'm left-handed. And
that's
so
cool.
Ostrich.
It's hard to find left-handed stuff.
Is that Tiger Ritza thread?
Yes.
Mm. He also made John over there, that's a hot dog holder.
Oh, yeah, I made him a hot dog holder. A weenie holder.
A weenie holder.
Is it a miniature?
For little smokies? Oh, my gosh.
John, I'm sorry. I don't even know you, man.
He's like unplugging the camera. Turn the lights off.
You should know I waited a full 3 seconds debating if I should say that or not, but I'm glad I did.
So am I. It was... Yeah.
He was already having seconds.
So what do you think about his what would you do different?
It's actually pretty sweet.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like how soft it is. Like, I like the material and everything.
Stitching is very straight, which is honestly like such a pet peeve of mine. When people hand me something, they're like, I do leather work. Check this out. And I'm always like, gosh. The fact that you didn't tell us and someone else told us actually...
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing. Yeah. It is, because this is way cleaner than the people that always do the like, oh, I do leather
I make
work.
Leather, yeah.
Oh, Craig, you do
Craig's
leather work?
Craig's a little diva on that, too.
Oh, he's...
Yeah, he'll look at it, and then if there's a little kink, he'll throw it away and not give it to us.
That's pretty clean.
Like, dude, that took me 3 tries to get right.
I actually didn't get to look at that at all, because I was looking at the other thing. Can I have it back?
This one took me 3 tries to get right, and the other 2, I basically just trashed.
But see, the thing that's cool is if he's just starting out and he's already doing that quality, like,
I give
it's only uphill, you know.
I give him a shitload of work. He owes me like
he keeps
7.
Yeah, I do. I have a list of things I got to make for him. But he keeps giving me things that I haven't done, and so they take a lot longer because I don't know how to do it.
Yeah. play with all this stuff. Okay, can't handle.
So for you guys, what was the challenge when you guys first started making the leather sheets? Like, what was the hurdle that you guys had to overcome? Because Craig, what was your hurdle?
For me, like, it took me a long time to learn the simplest stitch, the saddle stitch. That's the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing it a different way. I was using one of those speedy stitcher things.
That's the worst.
It was a pain in the ass, and it took forever. It didn't look as good. It just wasn't. I didn't like doing it. And then I just didn't know. I knew nothing, literally nothing about it. And so the saddle stitch, once I learned how to do that, it was like everything got so much easier and faster, like immediately.
Yeah, saddle stitching
not
is
that,
king.
That yeah.
So for you guys?
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, but you keep giving me shit where you're like, hey, make this, but add 15 things to it.
Don't
like
lie.
This.
Have the, a, that, add Wi-Fi to it.
Okay. His, this one for the Leatherman, that flashlight, the reason I had to remake it 3 times is because I couldn't get the flashlight to fit without one side looking fatter than mm-hmm. the other. And so I had to like basically fold the pieces instead of folding them one way so I could just sew it. I had to fold them in on each other and sew in the middle of that little opening. That was not cool.
So if I need another one,
I'll figure it out, but it was not cool.
I've had to start telling people, cause that was the whole thing when we started, like, we didn't have a stock of, hey, we make this, buy this. It was like, what do you need me to make? I need to buy.
That's what I was going
to
ask.
Yeah, like, I need to buy more hides. So, like, yeah, we'll make anything. At one point on our website, it said, if you want it, we'll make it. I took that down.
Oh, I bet.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, like, I have a list that is a mile long of custom stuff people have wanted, and I can make it. Like, if you want me to make it, I can make it really, really well. However, when everyone and their aunt wants something super, super, super custom, like, my time just is, it's gone. And I have, you know, I'd rather make stuff that, like, I love making sheaths. I really do. Like, custom sheaths, oh, man, makes my day. And I've developed that craft to where I can do it really well and really quickly. Whereas if I'm constantly designing new stuff, like, yeah, I can do it. But sometimes the mental reprieve of like, oh, I just want to make something I enjoy. Yeah. Because yeah. there's the mental factor too. It's not, if I wanted a job to just like plow through something and make money, I could go get an office job somewhere doing something else. That's not the point of this business.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, that's what my question was going to be. Like, do you guys still do some of that or not really? You guys focus more on what you guys have in your line or?
It depends on the time of the year. You know, like right now, like getting into like Christmas and just we have so many orders. It's like, I'm sorry, if it's not on our website, like we're not making it. But okay. The majority of the year, you know, it's also kind of an interest level thing. If someone comes in with a really interesting idea, like that's much more intriguing than someone coming to you and wanting to like micromanage every single step of how they want this custom thing to be versus some overarching idea of something you want to do.
I think Craig would hate me if I did that. Damn. I just give him something like, here, make me a sheet for this. Yeah. I just needed to hold this and then let him do whatever.
Yeah, those custom orders are much easier to take than someone who's like, okay, well, I want it to be, you know, a 16th of an inch smaller than the design you showed me. Like those people, I can't get back to them anymore because yeah. We're just so busy, you know, at a certain point, it's just not possible to cater. But in the beginning, yeah, all those people, we're willing to, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Sometimes I like just having completely free reign. And then sometimes I almost would not like make it exactly like this, but at least like give me an idea of color, size, like some constraints.
Guidance, yeah, a little bit of guidance.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I do that for him. I do it to some point because I'll buy the whole hide or whatever it is. I'm like, here, Greg,
we're going to make these. This is mine. Shoot. Make stuff out of this until it's gone.
Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
We have a lot of guys that they will hunt their own alligators and then I make Zach do all that. I don't want that stuff. Unless it's a sheath out of their alligator, but he will take and build like purses for their wives. Basically, like the guy goes and gets to do the hunt, and then he's like, oh, I have to get my
wife
something.
That's badass.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
That is really cool.
So a lot of purses for wives, like clutches, wallets for them. I would say like all the alligator hunter clients we have, they will write in and be like, hey, this is the list of things I want. If I can't get all of it, then do all the stuff for my wife first, and then I'll take whatever's left, which is pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, like they got to do the hunt and then give something to their wife.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah.
So what's the hardest thing that you make, like as far as wallets and bags? And because you don't really, do you do some of the sheaths or not really?
No, I'm horrible at designing sheaths.
All of the other stuff.
Yeah, I don't even touch it.
What's the hardest thing to make?
I'd say the hardest material is stingray, because just the material itself, it's got all these calcium deposits on the hide. If you've ever seen a stingray skin, mm-hmm. We actually brought a bunch of stuff in our truck for show and tell, but then I forgot to bring it in. But
we could get it.
Yeah,
he might steal some other stuff, but it's
fine. There's like a really fancy.
John's pretty trustworthy.
Yeah. It's like a $20,000 sword in there, so you know. Actually, you should bring the sword in too.
You know, he won't steal it, but he might drop it.
Don't wave the sword around.
Yeah, don't wave it around.
Your Dungeons and Dragons play can happen later.
No pressure. Just relax. Don't drop their stuff.
This is probably
a bad idea, guys.
It's a terrible idea.
One of you should go.
There's just a bunch of hides in the backseat.
Get Chad to help you.
Why don't you have him make two trips? Shit.
Okay, bring the sword first.
Get
please.
Chad to help you.
Yeah.
Make Chad carry everything.
Can we?
Thank you.
No.
Can we apologize?
I'm so sorry if he ruins any of your stuff.
Yeah.
I don't care about the sheath. I can fix that. The sword, though.
Yeah, sword is unrepairable. Yeah. That's,
I also apologize if you dinged your car.
The off-roading part's
with the sword.
He thought Komodo dragons were the same as iguanas, and I'm letting him get a $20,000 sword out of my truck.
That's why I said I. This is not a good idea.
Great.
he's a lot better than he used to be.
That's not a compliment.
He's getting
dude.
Better at stuff. He is though. He really is.
I'll never say
that to his face.
I don't give him shit anymore.
That's very mean of you, Craig. That's very mean of you to say.
Yeah, but I would say
stingray.
You'll be able to see the stingray, but like because it has these calcium deposits, like we hand stitch everything, so you can imagine like kind of like a metal fork that you punch through mm-hmm. with a hammer. And we've actually had prongs break off in the stingray because it's so tough.
So all those little like shiny dots,
yeah,
that's like a rock, basically.
You've never done stingray?
I haven't touched it yet.
Which one's the one that you did?
Damn it, Leo.
That looked like stingray.
He just shakes his head.
We're going to give you a test.
All right. I'll call my buddy Jerry. I'll figure it out.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Didn't one, of you guys, here today? One of you guys here have a stingray sheath?
No? Jerry, that guy, he made me a couple.
But you have one?
Yeah.
Because I swear I saw...
He does. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He does somewhere. But no, I've never worked with it. I've done that ostrich, a little bit of giraffe, lizard, frog, and, that fish, the
Arapaima.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Uruku.
That stuff's crazy looking.
It's so cool.
Have you ever seen when they descale those fish? They catch. Oh, dude, the videos of that are so cool.
Do they have to pull them out one by one?
Yeah,
because of the way they're embedded.
Well, and because of how big the fish are, they're like they look like dragon scales. Like they're picking out. It's like that, like a panel of bone. It's so cool.
That is cool.
Because you like scale a fish, they come off like little flakes.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally they're pulling out like a big piece. It looks like bone. It's probably like fingernail material. I don't know, like
keratin
high something.
I wonder if they use that for something else. Like they, you know,
people
the
actual scales. Yeah. I think you can buy them. I should buy some.
I bet they use it for like jewelry and stuff.
Probably.
That would make sense. Maybe if it's hard enough, they could even use it for tools. They probably, if it's hard enough, it probably was used for
good spoon
spoons or knives or things like that. Because the jungle is just sand.
Yeah.
Like you get below the trees and all the gunk on the ground, it's just sand.
Mm-hmm. I think it was someone that Rogan was interviewing was saying that like you can't even find a rock,
yeah,
in most of the Amazon. because there's just so much silt built up on the top. Like, yeah, there's hard tools, nope. Like nothing.
All their tools were bones, teeth,
yeah,
wood if it was hard enough, that kind of stuff.
From rival tribes.
Yeah. Look, your sword made it safely.
Oh, yes.
Don't speak too soon there. It's fine. Yeah. He has not set it down.
It's still in his possession?
My baby. Oh, thank you.
Jeez.
Oh, man.
Oh, thank you.
Set that down right there.
Good. See, John? See, I knew we could trust him.
Get that fuse, Chad.
Okay. Yep. No, all this was to bring.
Yeah, thank you.
What's that?
Can we get a close-up of the stingray?
Hey, John, over here on this one.
Let's see.
Yeah, he'll
We'll show a close-up of the stingray. So you can see how it's kind of got the white in there.
You might have to get it closer and turn the light down a little bit. Just make sure to turn it back. There you go.
So the calcium deposits, you can see how there's individual white dots. There you go. That's way better.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can see the individual dots. Those are those calcium deposits. And this one's actually sanded. It's probably sanded 30% down. So that'll actually come and take some sort of surface grinder, probably something, and sand that down. Otherwise, it would almost look like caviar. It'd look like individual eggs all strewn out there. And those are a lot harder to stitch.
So have you guys received, what do you call those? Pelt? What do you call
high, like high skin. Skin. Skin?
Have you guys received the ones that never been touched?
Unsanded?
The caviar ones?
Yeah. Like raw? Would you call it raw?
That would be badass, though. That'd be...
They're kind of cool, but it's a very particular look. Like, it's not as widely sought out as the sanded. Like, most people want the sanded, for sure.
Well, for example, we hand-stitch everything.
Let me see that. John, where did you put it?
So I bring... There's some beaver tail. Look at that. Beaver tail. There's an alligator.
This is the belly? Seen that,
post you posted of that wallet that you...
The one that went through the washer?
Yes.
Yeah, so that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, isn't that cool? So that tail's been cut. I didn't even realize. Guy reached out to us. He had our wallet for I don't know how long, and he had left it in his pocket in the washing machine. And so we dyed. Like, that comes to us undyed. So we'll dye it and finish it at our shop. And his wallet still looked like almost brand new. So I went and did a re-dye on it, and it was, totally fine. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, so you can kind of see in the center of the alligator there.
John, can you show it to the camera again?
There's that line that runs down it.
Yeah.
The alligator. That's a...
Yeah,
that's,
go ahead. Yep.
No.
No, you're fine.
Yeah, that's pretty bad enough.
So with alligator, it's really interesting because,
That's good.
There's a lot of... makers, they will utilize every single part.
John, quit poking the hole. Jeez. Sorry.
Good Lord. Oh, John.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Yeah, so alligator has a very unique pattern. You can see as it changes, which right now we're looking at, that's the cloaca right there.
John, and then, show other parts of it.
Yeah.
Do you know what a cloaca is, John?
I don't, to be honest.
You don't know what a cloaca is?
No.
Really? Oh, birds and reptiles, all their fun stuff happens in one hole. So poop, pee.
Mating.
Mating. All that is in one hole.
Yeah, so you can see how the pattern changes depending on what part of the hide you're looking at, whether it's the neck, the belly, the tail. So we utilize only the best parts for specific pieces.
Is there a more, what do you call it? A spot that people go for the most?
Yeah. So what, if you see what was cut out of the belly, that's because that's the prime spot.
Yeah.
It's kind of right in the center of the belly, basically.
And it's got this big fat line that kind of goes down the center of it. So it's not like you can even offset the pattern.
You know what that is?
Half an inch to the right or half an inch to the left.
El culeco.
Did you say culeco? Oh, man.
So the back part, this top part of an alligator, you don't do anything with it?
I like this.
Yeah, isn't that cool? So I use that. So this right here, get this out of the way. Let's see here. Am I going to hit anything?
Probably.
So this is the throat on an alligator. That's the same cut.
So it's like this.
Yeah, show it to the camera this way.
Where, I don't know where the camera's at.
Right in front.
Okay. So this right here.
Yeah, perfect.
Right from here. So the throat on this one went from, it was about here to like back here. And so I used this for the sheath. But you can see the pattern is a lot bigger back here. Mm-hmm. And then it gets smaller. Just like on that one you're looking at. Just on a, I mean, way bigger
this
gator.
This is a huge gator.
Yeah. Monster.
So this stingray, on this backside of it, do they thin it down to get it this thickness, or is this kind of like, this is kind of how thick they come?
They thin it a little bit. Yeah. Okay. They don't come super thick, but they do treat it and thin it a little bit. Yeah.
Actually, getting to that is why we, in our wallets, use a lot of kangaroo leather, because like you think of a cow, like when a cow gets butchered, like its skin is really thick. And so to get it down to a workable leather, for like a wallet, and you know, it's got to be considerably thinner. Like, you're taking away a lot of the structural fiber of the leather. So, like, I can take cow leather at like a wallet thickness and I can just rip it. Mm-hmm. I cannot tear kangaroo.
Yeah, kangaroo, that's one thing that that's even like thin. The lacing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I had so some cheese made. What was that guy's name? He was out of Montana.
Wasn't I know that I can picture the sheets you're talking about.
Yeah, he did the kangaroo. He did some like old Western, and I have them in my office.
Like laced edges.
Laced edges.
Is he super old?
No, he's not that old.
It's in his office. It's got a stamp on it. But you know,
all the edges is with that kangaroo leather.
So in like a few years when you're referencing something that I've made for you, could you remember my name?
Yes. No, this is the thing that,
he'll remember your face.
I remember
forever.
What you were wearing, what you brought to the show. I remember, except your name.
Oh, well, same.
But yeah, so.
He'll remember what people bought at a show 3 years ago.
Dude, I have the same problem.
They'll come up to the booth and be like, hey, how's it going? Cool. And Leo will be like, oh, hey, man, how are you doing? How's your kid? He was doing this, right? And the guy will be like, how do you remember that?
Yeah.
And he'd be like, yeah, well, you came and you bought this and this and this, and then we talked about that. And he will recall the whole conversation, but he has no idea what the guy's name is.
I'm bad at names.
But he'll remember everything else.
You know what, though? Thank you.
I'm bad at names and worse with faces, so I'm screwed.
Either I remember every detail about somebody or I literally forget that they exist. Like, I had somebody, we were on a road trip and we stopped at a restaurant.
Who is you?
This woman came up. I'll remember him because I've had way too much fun roasting him.
He's memorable. He is.
So this woman comes up and hugs me and she's like, Francesca. And we talk for like, I don't know, 10 minutes. Yeah. She walks away and I turn to Zach and I was like, who was that?
I'm the same way.
He's like, you literally spent like 8 hours in a car with her. I'm like, no, I didn't. Like, yes, you did. I'm like, I don't know. I still don't. Right now, I don't even remember her name. Still.
I think you got like face blindness or like on a clinical level, perhaps.
You know what? You are. Whatever, man.
Oh, man. All right. Let's get into this.
You know, I'll do the thing. I'll be like, Zach, you know that person over there? I don't remember their name. I'm going to walk up and I'm going to say, this is my husband, Zach. I need you to say, oh, what was your name?
I'm horrible at it.
He has never done it once. I've set him up like 12 times. Every time he's like, hi.
I think he's doing it on purpose.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yep. It's fine.
Seems like a punishment of some kind.
And that happened to me. And they'll come up, hey, how's it going? And they start talking and they look back at my wife. I'm like,
This is awesome. You can even see the calcium like through the backside of the leather.
Yeah.
Through down that line. Like sticking through.
What's so fascinating about stingray too is that they are a delicacy in Southeast Asia, and so they actually farm. Oh, I'm going to get this wrong now. I believe they're a freshwater stingray that they farm in Thailand. Is where these specific
ones come from?
Yeah, and which is why we can get them very consistently. I think that's like a 10-inch.
It says 9.
That's a 9. Yeah, size okay, 9. Yeah. So we can get hundreds at 9-inch because they're not catching them out of the ocean.
Probably that I see the most dyed in different colors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is stingray. Like leopard and you know,
purples and blues
yeah,
and
tiger and yeah.
We don't get into any of that. All we do is just the like the classic look of the black
and gray stingray. We used to get into more colors and stuff, but we found that like
it just looks so good.
Yeah, it's like 1 in 100 people would want a color on their stingray. Like most people like that right there.
Yeah. Is this dyed black or is that the natural? Is
no, it's dyed.
What's natural for a stingray? What's the natural color?
I should have brought it. Alexa
asked
me.
It's gray,
No, it actually, well, it depends on the specific subspecies of stingray. So like I have one that's a rawhide at the shop and it's sharp. Like if you touch it, it feels like super, super sharp sandpaper and it's all curled up because it hasn't been tacked out. But you can see it looks like leopard spots. Very faintly on the skin because it hasn't been bleached out yet. So they bleach it. Most leathers, they're bleached out and then re-dyed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So same with stingray.
The only thing that's natural on that is going to be the white.
The white.
Because that's obviously the calcium, which has been sanded down.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's great.
Yeah.
So do you, that's really cool.
You want to show another one?
Do you guys, do you do any of your own tanning?
No.
Do you know how?
No.
No,
I would love to
know. I've been wondering a lot about that lately. Like, it seems like such a difficult process. It's probably not worth it. But
I mean, if I had the time, it's super cool. If I had the time, I'd love to learn it. But like, I still have to, you know, work for a living, so I don't have the time yet.
I think at some point, because there's like just living in Idaho, there's so many beaver trappers. Like, we get calls all the time. People want to bring us like their frozen skins or salted skins. At some point we'll probably, you know, tackle that because it'd be worth it. Cause it's a really hard skin to get. We only have we've gone through probably 4 suppliers and just bought everything they've had, sold them out. And then we have to move on to someone else
out of the beaver material.
The beaver. Yeah.
And then, so, is it just the tail or do you use the other part of the hide too?
Just the tail.
Yeah.
We've done some stuff with fur on, but not a ton. It's just by request. Like if someone comes to me with a super cool, someone came to me with, he wanted custom hair on bobcat slippers. So I made him a pair of shoes out of bobcat. And it was like, I was literally covered in fuzz every time I worked on them. Cause I like trim them and stitch them. And that was cool. But like, other than that, we don't work with.
That was,
you don't do hair on much, huh?
No. Not
very often.
I bet.
Yeah.
That was great because the guy, he just wanted to be able to brag to his hunting buddies at hunting camp because he would walk around in the slippers. It's like,
it was okay, just a brag.
Yeah.
That's cool. I would totally do.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So the beaver, tails, you get them, you don't get them locally.
That's good.
We buy them from around the country, but most of them, like, for example, the city of Idaho Falls, like, they pay trappers to keep all the canals within the city limits free from beavers because, obviously, if they dam things up,
things get bad fast.
Yeah, it's going to get bad. So all these municipalities, you know, private landowners, they either take them themselves or pay trappers to come get them, and then they're selling them to different tanneries, and then we're buying them in lots because it can be a very destructive issue. And they're great when you're out hunting in the wilderness, but in the wrong place, they're a giant mess. And like, we did a show in New York this year, because obviously we have them here, but like every single person that came to our booth we weren't in New York, we're in New Jersey. Every single person that came to our booth was like, oh yeah, we've had horrible problems on our property with flooding because of them. Mm-hmm. Definitely in the locality, probably because they don't have wolves out there. I don't know.
Yeah, they probably don't
less
have
less predators.
There's probably coyotes, but probably not many.
I don't even know if they have mountain lions out there. So like, there's just a lot less predators that are keeping them in check. So depending on what part of the country, and then obviously there's a lot in Canada.
It's a big problem even in like the Jackson area, or like a lot of the ranches going between, you know, like Driggs, Victor, that whole area. There's a ton of them that have beaver problems. And it takes them a matter of days and they can decimate an entire area.
They can take down a lot of trees in a short amount of time.
Oh yeah.
For sure. And then, and even if they don't take down the tree, as soon as they start biting it, the tree's dead. It's going to die.
Have you guys heard of the Great Beaver Drop of 1948?
This sounds awesome.
It's a very Idaho story right here.
You haven't heard of this?
No, I haven't.
It's like my favorite thing ever. No, man. So, 1948, they decided that they needed to spread beavers back into the Idaho wilderness. And Fish and Game was like, how do we do this? So they tried bringing them in on horseback in crates, and they were overheating and dying, and didn't work. They were like losing beavers left and right.
And freaking airdropped beavers all over the state.
Yeah, they did.
Yes.
Yes.
That's awesome.
So Fish and Game got, I think it was, watch me get this number wrong. It's on our website. 72 beavers or like 84 or something. 50. I don't know. It was a big number. They put a bunch of beavers in crates and attached parachutes to the crates and threw them out of a plane over the Idaho wilderness. And they would just hit the ground and the crates would bust open and the beavers would just be like, oh, I'm home. Yeah. So, and
no
out of,
way.
Yes. And out of all of them, only one died. And they, there's like a super old film. And I mean, I'm talking like black and white, like choppy. And they said, I think it was taken out of the film, like to the public eye, but you could see at one point the beaver chewed his way out of the crate and was riding it down. Like parachuting down on top, and all of a sudden he just like fell off.
That's the one.
No,
that's the one.
That's the one that didn't make it.
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
that is awesome.
The Great Beaver
that's
Drop.
That's real.
Yeah, that's a real thing. Isn't that the most Idaho thing?
Airdropped beavers.
Yes.
Yes.
The original airdrop.
That's legit.
I wonder if Scott even heard of that.
I wonder too.
It's so cool. Yeah. I did a conservation page on our website, and that was like, I have to do that one because that's a good one.
Yeah,
you guys ever get any like people like complaining or giving you guys crap about leather?
Yeah,
at shows.
Oh yeah, not as much at shows, but online,
like social media stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah, like the desk jockeys, they just get on it. So what's crazy though? So I'm an advisor for Inversa Leathers. So it's a company where we go in and we target invasive species that are affecting whatever ecosystem they've invaded. So we started with lionfish. You know, lionfish are like decimating the coral reefs all over the world. So people will be like, oh, use vegan leather. That's better.
Oh, no, it's not.
No, it's made of plastic.
Yeah.
It is literally like the worst thing for the environment. If you want to be like environmentally conscientious, do not ever touch vegan leather. That's terrible. It's literal plastic. I've had a lot of people come to me and be really upset. And by the end of the conversation, the majority of them, I would say I've only maybe had one person that was like still upset. The majority of the time people are like, oh, wow, I didn't understand all of the logistics and how much things like utilizing their skin actually contributes to the conservation of the species, like in a very large way. And not all of them, but a good portion of those people end up buying something on our website.
Yes, really?
I'm dead serious. Because if they don't want to buy something that's, you know, like alligator or whatever, they'll buy one of the invasive species through that company that I advise for. Because it's actually contributing back to the native species in whatever habitat we've gone into. Right. So that's been a really good thing to kind of open the door to those people that are initially super, super worked up is the invasive species.
So like with this, so the lionfish, for example, do they harvest them just to make them into the leather, or are they killing them just, is it like a rodent basically the equivalent?
So
or do they eat them? Like what besides the leather comes out of that, I guess?
They were started. The hunting of lionfish was started for their meat because it's a really good like white meat. So that's kind of always been like I shouldn't say always, but that was the original purpose. It was like, oh, they taste really good. And it's fun. You know, these restaurants can be like, oh, the lionfish is a dangerous.
I had to look it up because I didn't know.
They're cool looking.
I don't even know what they look like, actually.
They look super cool. So that was the original kind of direction with hunting them. And then the CEO and founder of Inversa,
oh, yeah. I have seen those,
is a diver, and the dude's like super smart, Princeton grad, like kind of nerdy, And he kept calling me, and I get like weird calls from leather people all the time. Sometimes they're weird. And so like I was dodging this guy's calls for like, I don't know what, 2 months.
Maybe Craig called us one time and you just didn't know it.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. He probably has.
That's why he hasn't brought up his story.
Like, yeah. Oh, like
you guys dogged me that one time. No.
So, yeah. Well, this guy was persistent and I was like, God, he's a weirdo. So he called me from, I swear it was a different number, and I answered. I was like, son of God. Stuck on the phone now. And so I listened to his little spiel. It was when he had first started in Versa. And by the end of the conversation, I was like, oh, this is really cool. And at that point, he didn't really have usable leather, but he had seen how many exotics I had worked with and successfully. And he was like, I want you to do R&D. Can I send you some of these for free? And you just like put the time into it and finish them and see if you like it. And so it ended up, you know, kind of snowballing from there to where now I'm on their board. And the stuff that has come out of the invasive species leather market, there's so many complexities because you have to take here new species that have never been targeted. Like one of them is Asian carp. Have you guys seen the videos in the Mississippi River of the fish jumping up and like hitting paddle boarders?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So we get those and turn them into leather. And like turning a fish into leather is not new necessarily, but there's so many little like details and things with each species that you have to work through and dial down in the process. It's a ton of work. And yeah, it's been really, really cool. I don't remember what your original question was, honestly. I got real excited. And I
no, you're good. So he wants to know 100%. If you can make it.
What did you want?
No. You've answered most of it.
Okay.
So
he's going to ask you to make a leather sock that has like flaps for the toes.
No. No, I don't. He might need therapy.
That's the weird thing that he wanted to ask. Yeah,
no, not at all. Aside from the leather part of it, like, did they, I guess this company in particular, when they started like targeting that fish, mm-hmm. was it specifically for leather, or were they like, we need to find a way to get rid of these. They taste good. You can make leather. You can do this.
This company specific was selling meat first and developing the leather in the process.
And so like in the United States and like they will have competitions, you know, and there's divers that will go out and target them just to kill them because mm-hmm. like, you know, they were dumped around Florida, you know, from someone's fish tank.
That's the same thing that basically happened with the pythons in the Everglades, right?
Yeah. So it started from there and now they're all the way into the Mediterranean. They're all throughout the Caribbean. Basically the entire Atlantic Ocean is full of them. And if you look them up, you can see they got all these venomous like spikes on them. So like sharks can't eat them.
All the little things hanging off of them. Mm-hmm. They're all
yeah.
So that's why they're so invasive, right? Because nothing really eats them.
Nothing eats them.
Only tiger sharks, I believe.
And they are very aggressive. So they'll go in and kill all the reef fish. So they've decimated a lot of the reefs in the Atlantic Ocean. So like the United States, they actually have money to pay people to go kill them. So like they're still there, but they're not as prolific as you go down off the coast of like Colombia, Venezuela, some of the Caribbean islands. Like they don't have any management programs or money to go pay people to go kill these things. So the idea with Inversa is to be able to basically create a market that local fishermen, like they have an incentive to go kill these things now because, you know, the meat can be sold to higher end restaurants and then the leather can be sold. Well, actually that's the real issue with international. They can't bring the meat in to the United States from international. That's where the leather comes in. Is
there some kind of import restriction or something?
Okay. So the leather
logistically too, which is with spoiling and stuff, it's just it's a lot more difficult.
So the idea was to create a market for the leather so they can actually pay the fishermen to target and eradicate these species because they're really, really bad.
Wow. Okay. And so they're,
that didn't go how I wanted at all. How
just
cool would that have been?
Missed that corner just barely.
So this is another invasive species that Inversa is featuring. This is a python that's come out of Florida.
Is this the one that was live?
No, I wish. Are you kidding? I was hoping for one this size. Yeah, so like Zach was saying, it's it's being able to like restore and revive ecosystems, but also small economies in these like basically villages. They don't have a means of income, and a lot of these little, you know, local fisheries, when they lose the fish that the lionfish are eating their brood, they don't have food and they don't have money.
They go do something else.
They go to go, well, and sometimes there's nothing else to do. Like, the economic impact is crazy. So, yeah, being able to incentivize the small communities, like, hey, we'll pay you. And, by the way, you can eat the meat on these things. This is how you fillet them safely. Oh,
so it pretty much gives them a how-to,
yes.
And they're going to get paid.
So there's all sorts of education and stuff involved with it, too.
Oh, yeah. They? No, it's a whole thing. It's honestly, like, once he and I started talking, I was like, oh, this guy is super smart. He's very passionate. There's not a lot of times people don't have the passion and follow through and the intellectual capacity to like put something like this together. He has trailblazed this in an unbelievable way.
So he's doing the lionfish, the pythons. Are there other species that they're doing currently or
the
adding?
Asian carp.
Okay, that one too.
Yep, yeah. The Asian carp. And then I don't know if I'm technically supposed to say, but I can ask for forgiveness later. we're working on some different lizard species. Yeah, I can say that.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that works. Okay. Yeah.
There are a lot of lizard species. There's Komodo dragons, for example.
Exactly.
There are iguanas, separate species.
Totally separate. no, we're working on that. So,
what the heck? Sorry, John.
You know, Francesca had a friend who thought that a small deer was a deer and then a big deer was an elk. So it's kind of like the same thing as like the Komodo dragon. Like,
speaking of elk, how did everyone's hunts go this year?
Great.
Good. Wonderful. Nice, John.
Wonderful.
My wife and I got our mule deer.
Did you?
We didn't go do much elk and we've been so swamped. But
yeah, you guys only went out for twice. Like two times for a couple hours at a time.
But
I didn't do so well. I did much worse.
Dude, and you took a week and a half off. That's
no,
crazy.
I didn't. That's not even a thing. but I did spend plenty of time looking for mule deer and elk. And
yeah, I have friends that can't tell like what are horns and what are not horns. You know, but
I didn't get anything. Well, I did get a python this year and like 25 iguanas. So, but I didn't get a deer or an elk. So same boat.
I got a crane.
I didn't get one of those.
Really excited about that.
Do you think you can turn the crane into really like? Do they make leather out of crane?
Is that a thing? It's certainly trying. I mean, they make it out of ostrich. So
about chicken?
I assume it's possible.
I have chicken foot leather. It's adorable. It's like this big. It's a chicken's foot.
So it looks like it probably looks like an ostrich leg, just teeny tiny, tiny.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah, like a perfect pen case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like a little inlay on something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Little keychains.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? That would have been perfect for John. That's all he eats, chicken.
Yeah, he loves chicken.
Oh, man.
Surprising, isn't it?
Yeah. Sorry, I don't know. That's what my diet consists of. I'm actually allergic to red meat.
You're not. That's not
no,
a thing.
You're not.
Are
no.
you actually?
I get diarrhea, though.
Bullshit.
Thank you.
Apparently so.
Yes, that's a,
what'd you say I had?
It's something that comes from Lyme disease. What's it called? Do you know? Oh, yeah. A mental disorder.
No, the one day that I told him, because I went to that one place that they like cut that meat.
And now he uses that for everybody.
I got the shits really, really bad. Like, I couldn't stand the smell.
It's called food poisoning.
So yeah. I had to leave the place because I was like, I thought I was going to puke just
it was probably
the smell
from
meat.
The vegetables that he ate, and not from the meat.
Yeah, no. And then
never
I just eat chicken. So I think they said that I had Lyme disease, and that kind of freaked me out. So,
did you eat vegetables?
No.
Did you go to the salad bar?
No.
Did you eat any uncooked vegetable at that place?
No.
There's probably rancid meat.
Maybe.
Okay, probably.
Yeah.
I mean,
did you go on a Monday?
No, it was on a Saturday.
Wait, how do you do with wild game?
Never had it.
Well, chickens is probably the borderline.
Well, no, I know a guy.
Wild chickens.
He can't eat beef, but he's fine with elk and deer. Something with mayo. Brandon.
Oh.
No. Something with, like, since they're
probably the antibiotics or whatever.
Or yeah, something. Them, yeah. But like just normal red meat, like from like, you know, organic or taken from
stuff
a mountain.
He can't touch.
He's fine.
Really?
So you got to try that.
No, I mean, I eat red meat. We just joke around because I'll prefer chicken at like a steakhouse.
That's
I'd rather
so weird.
Get chicken.
No.
Barbecue places, the best chicken ever is at a barbecue house, like in Texas. Oh, man. They know how to cook chicken.
He's not even kidding.
We no. don't. We're not.
He's
I don't.
Not even kidding. We'll go.
We can go
anywhere,
to a nice steakhouse.
Any order chicken. Any order.
You
chicken.
Know where they had really, really good chicken here, too? I derailed. They have really
you
good
know
chicken.
What? I can't wait to not try that.
Oh, my God.
What? Chicken?
Whatever you just suggest. I can't. I like steak or bust.
Really?
Yes.
I can slam down like 10 tacos. Though. I mean, like, look at me. But like, if you
I mean,
me
I
steak,
could too. Look at me. Like, what does that mean?
Because I'm fat. Jeez. No, I thought that was kind of self-explanatory. You did this earlier. I'm not falling to this trap.
Okay.
Oh man.
I came to defend my aunt. No, I didn't. I just came.
You're doing a great job, Johnson.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah. Back to the. The deer hunt. And the
yes.
Hunt.
Yeah. So, no, I did not get my.
Yeah, we didn't do
I have some questions, though. Can I ask my questions?
Yeah.
Sorry. I was chewing on the cap.
Why would you say you have questions when you have a cap in your mouth?
Sorry. I'm sorry.
It's okay. No, I'm just.
Okay. So, what I like to do, and I don't know, like you kind of said
doesn't
about
like
your.
Question at all.
When you look at stitches, you kind of like your pet peeve is you look at something when someone hands you a leather piece. What I like to do, and it's kind of weird, is like I like to go on people's social media and mm-hmm. kind of just like look at it. Do you guys do your own marketing?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Like you all can tell. I want to say, like most of the time, you can tell when.
So where's the question?
That
was
do,
the question.
If they do their own marketing.
he had more of a statement to go along with this question.
Yeah,
he wanted to interject.
Yeah, I just wanted to know if they did their own marketing because it's great because you can tell when or who does the marketing here. Who does this, like the more drive for the videos?
I do all the website design and marketing.
Oh, right on. See, and like that's pretty cool. I like watching videos when they have like a lot of interaction because I've seen some videos have popped off too. That's pretty cool feeling. Yeah.
No, it's been quite the process. Honestly, like I would love to delegate it, but I think that'll be one of the last things that I delegate because there's a certain feel that I want our brand to have and I'm very passionate about it. Like when he asked me whatever that question was, I'd completely forgot your question because I got so excited talking about this. It's like I can nerd out real hard.
It's you know? Hard.
I'm really interested in that part of it too because like if you don't have good answers for that, it's going to get harder and harder for people to still be okay with leather mm-hmm. products. Like it's getting to the whole vegan leather thing. Every shoe store, every shoe company that you look at, they're trying to put vegan leather on freaking everything and it's garbage. It's literal, it's plastic.
It is. And a lot of luxury brands
are switching to
that
shit.
And it's actually, it's a shame because the people that are making those decisions know better. They know better,
mm-hmm.
but they're jumping on the bandwagon. And if the big names, especially in fashion, if they said, no, we're not jumping on that bandwagon, they could stop the momentum of it. Mm-hmm. They really could.
They could.
But
absolutely.
Instead, they're using it as a marketing ploy, and that is
so
going
short-sighted.
To be
it's so short-sighted.
Devastating.
Yep.
Even to them in the future. Like, it's super short-sighted. And so that python is an invasive. That one's a Burmese python from Florida. And a lot of python is coming from farms in Southeast Asia. So with Inversa now, we're trying to target the invasives and go in and make it readily available for leather workers to use invasive species rather than farmed because
that's
it changes
cool.
public perception. And so when I was just in Florida in September, did I go in September? Yes. It was hot and humid. And there was a hurricane coming through. So we were filming a documentary down there with Blood Origins, which it's a conservation nonprofit that goes in and basically films hunting up close, in personal, with hunters and the communities that it affects. And so Robbie's put together this whole thing. And I had told him at the beginning of the year, like, I want to go on some hunts. Like, I want to be
part of
I want to film some hunts. And he was like, well, you're on the board of Inversa. Like, I'll make something happen. I didn't think anything would happen from it. But he called me up and he's like, all right, we're going python hunting. So we went with the python cowboy. And like it's hard work. I can bust and work pretty hard. I would say I'm a pretty hard worker, and the amount of effort that goes into invasive python hunting, I was like, dang. It is. Like, you're sweaty from literally, like, you start at 6 in the evening and you go until 1 in the morning. And it's not,
it's still hot.
It's hot. It's yeah. hot. And there's like yeah. thunderstorms overhead. I mean, it's an incredible amount of work. So just to have that hands-on like appreciation for all the work that goes into getting a skin like that is crazy. And so we're working on Python Cowboy. He's going to send me some. We shot a bunch of invasive iguanas. That was a good time. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that I want
to
do.
Yeah,
that
dude, one, you need to. Fun. It was.
Oh, you need to tell so them about the location of where, like, where were you shooting these iguanas?
Yeah, so this you're in canals in residential areas. So they're like 2 million to $10 million homes, and we're rolling up in these canals, and so people are like out on their lawns and like waving to us, and you have like, you know, your gun is next to you, they can't see it, and it's a air rifle. And so there's iguanas everywhere. So somebody be like waving at me and I'm like, hi. And then see an iguana over here and I'm like, pop, pop, pop. You know, and the look on their face is hilarious. Like the like, oh.
What is she doing?
Yeah.
But it's so, Florida.
Yeah,
you have to expect like, something weird.
If I had a $10 million home and this rolled up in the canal I live on with a gun, I'd be like, what?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Fair enough.
No, It was crazy, though. And he has dogs that go out after him. So you pop them, they drop, the dog goes and retrieves it. And like once you pop one, you'll see 10 scatter. And everybody's like, oh my gosh, there's one. Get it, get it, get it. And you have to be deadly precise or they get away.
They only take a headshot.
Yes. You get them in the head like 3 times and they still try to like bite you.
The Macias guys uploaded a video, I want to say like a month ago. And same thing in canal residential, and they're literally like commercial buildings on one side of the canal, and then their houses. Mm-hmm. And they had to wait; they could only shoot the ones on the canal because they didn't have a dog.
Yeah.
And so, but they shot with the 22, I think. Maybe yeah, it's a lot an air of people rifle
use,
too.
They use 22s or 17s.
Yeah. Oh. I don't remember exactly, but I know.
But maybe the air rifles that are coming out now, they're powerful.
Yeah. Mm. Oh yeah.
A lot more expensive though.
A rifle? Oh, yeah.
Then, yeah.
The upfront cost is really expensive, but your ammo gets way cheaper, right?
For a 22?
No, like for an air rifle.
Compared to a 22?
Yeah, even 22 ammo is not cheap right now.
Yeah, right now you're paying.
Yeah. No, fair enough.
You can get, I think, 1,000 pellets right now for, I don't remember, dirt cheap.
Yeah, so it takes a while to offset those costs, but your air rifle, it costs more up front, but your ammo is way cheaper.
Yeah, that video.
Over time, you're going to save money on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Leo's phone, I'm sure.
Yeah, that video looked cool because like
who's yelling?
She was.
They're just saying bye, probably. Everybody's just saying bye to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, that video looked cool just because of the whole like residential.
Yeah, but
like,
17, even a 17 would be fun.
Yeah, 17 would be fun.
Because you get more reach, you got power behind it.
And in Florida, do you know that if you shoot it, you have to take it with you, or like what are kind of the rules on that?
You know, I never asked Mike, the Python Cowboy, if legally we had to, but the way he was like going after them, would say yes, because like one fell in the water. And he went, I mean, he was like diving down to get it. And we did, like it came back up. And so he's like, okay, I'm going to time it. You need to shoot that thing in the head and the dog has to get it because they sink, like they drop. So he's like, okay, like count of three, get lined up, pop it, and I'm going to let the dog go. And I mean, that was the one that we thought we didn't pick up. And thankfully we did, but like he was pretty annoyed that we like possibly weren't going to get it. And finally it popped up and the dog got it. But like, I don't know the law on that. I would say probably you have to get them all.
And yeah, I think, that's,
is this a video that you guys shot?
Yeah. So we filmed a documentary and it's part of, the whole documentary Blood Origins will be releasing sometime 2024.
Okay.
Some of the media is on Instagram. Some of it I'll have on our website, under the conservation page, but yeah, the whole series covers American alligator hunting down in Louisiana. I believe they did it in Louisiana. And then I came after they did the alligator hunt. We went down to Florida and did invasive Burmese python and then invasive iguana. And there'll be a little bit of pigeon in there too. There's invasive pigeons down there.
We have that problem here.
Yeah. So
that's other shop. Bad. Yeah.
I volunteer to come take care of them.
We have a full-time sniper shooter outside.
Yeah, my son, my 9-year-old.
Yeah.
He cleans up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
Sounds amazing. Yeah. It's like a really good time.
Oh, it's fun.
We're going to have to look out for that documentary. That's pretty cool. And the guy that you went with, he probably does YouTube, right?
Robbie. So Blood Origins has YouTube and their channel, and then Python Cowboy.
Yeah.
He's huge. Yeah, he's got... YouTube. Yeah, he's on YouTube. He's got a big, huge Instagram platform. He was just on Joe Rogan like
a month or two ago.
Yeah.
It was pretty recent.
I'm going to have to listen to that.
It was a good episode.
Yeah.
So he was on Rogan's podcast 2 weeks before I went hunting with him. And the guy is like so friggin' redneck. He is like raw dog redneck. And then he gets out there and you ask him a question. And he's super, super educated on the species and the process and the laws. And it's like, man, how can you be so like refined and yet just like raw dog get out there? And I think you kind of have to be that raw to go hunt those python every night.
Oh, yeah.
Did you go, Zach?
You would have to be.
No, because they were hunting off of a boat. So I got kicked off because they had two cameramen. Just the way it was, they would have to have a second boat. So I got kicked off of that one.
Dang. What about the wild pigs, like wild boars? Because I'm like right now on YouTube, I'm like on this niche of wild boars getting trapped in Texas. And I think that's so cool. They even show when they pop them in the head.
Yeah, but that's
everything.
What's crazy, that Instagram, like we put a knife picture or whatever. Do they take them down still often or no?
No, they mark them as like sensitive.
Okay, so TikTok. Oh, yeah. All right, TikTok. We put a picture of a knife,
mm-hmm.
not doing nothing, just a picture, and we get kicked off.
Mm-hmm.
But then on TikTok, you see where they come in and there's six pigs in a
that's crazy,
and popping them in the head.
We deleted,
and that's fine. Like
we got a channel deleted pretty big. Was it like in 60s? It was at 60K, and then it got deleted
on TikTok.
That's why we haven't really been like huge pushers for TikTok. We've been like tiptoeing. And it's harder to grow in there. But yeah, like he said, a lot of those videos, you can see them getting like just popped in the head on TikTok. And we're like, what the heck? Like
you post a picture of a knife in your hand and
it's
taken down.
Community guidelines.
Or in the video. Sometimes it's in the video.
I had a few of those on our Instagram because like obviously I work with a lot of knives. So I'd have like these super high-end art knives sent to me from makers all over the world. And like, I enjoy that. My followers enjoy that. So I would post a video of the knives, and early on we got a ton of flags. Like Facebook would shut down our account. I remember there was one time they locked us out for like 2 days.
Jeez.
And I was freaking out because that's our main means of income at the time. And I've diversified since then because dang,
it's the way to go.
It's scary. And I had to do so many like, what's it called? When you have to, I had to appeal it many times that finally now, like, we don't get any. They don't give us a hard time at all. Like, no matter what I post, they don't care. And I wonder
seems like they've started to, like, ease off a little bit on some of the, like, being super strict about guns and knives. It mm-hmm. seems like they're starting to ease off. And there was some change recently that he's read through, and I've started reading through it, and it's like, it seems like they're genuinely trying to be more transparent about what their rules are.
Mm. Mm.
And which I think is it seems like a move in the right direction. It seems like they're realizing that maybe shutting off half of the country is like not really a good idea if you want volume on your platform, which is what a social media company should want. And so it seems like they're kind of starting to ease off on that, at least on the like Facebook and Instagram side.
That would be nice.
On Instagram and Facebook more than like YouTube or TikTok, but it's just weird. It's weird trying to figure out like what's
what's
not.
Where's the headquarters of TikTok?
Shanghai.
Allegedly here, no.
You want to go to Shanghai?
I'm just kidding. I don't know where it is.
I wouldn't be able to defend myself if they talk crap to me.
You still
nothing changes. So
okay.
You just described this room right now.
No, I wasn't.
You just described this room.
Yeah. He wouldn't be able to defend himself. I'm the youngest one.
Oh, man.
Sorry. It's okay. I won't lose sleep over it. So. But just know when I'm at home and I'm like thinking of things I should have said, I'll have a comeback at that time. But
that's me too. It's like 2 hours later, it kicks in.
Yeah, he's like, I should have told you my number.
You guys don't even have my number. Don't give them my number because he'll get it.
Can I tell them to text you? Like,
you,
hey,
can,
John
you can
said,
text me and then.
That's fine. John, he can sift through the good ones.
Yeah.
John said the. Can I send you his DM?
He has some decent comebacks later on.
Just
we'll see.
I have a good comeback, they let me know because it's like once
it's,
every
yeah, it's not very common.
Nah, we call those zingers.
Yeah, well, I got very few zingers. What's for 2024 that's coming up? What can we expect from Teton Leather? Like, what's the move?
Are you answering this or am I answering this?
Well, let's get an answer from both.
A lot of growth.
Yeah, and yeah,
we're just expanding rapidly. Doing a lot of OEM stuff for different brands, so
yeah. No, we're going to be doing a lot of filming stuff, a lot more filmed hunts. Focus on like really good quality media. Now that I can get out of just like trying to push through production, I have a really good team that's doing that now, and Zach is like. He has someone that helps him with the custom stuff and she's really good. And so, yeah, we can actually focus on growing and like showing the story with our brand and, you know, kind of what drives us. So a lot more media, filmed hunts and like he said, working with other brands. That's been the biggest thing. Now that we've expanded into like the new shop, that's something we can actually dive into and handle. I would say that's the biggest thing for 2024.
That's great. Yeah, that's always a plan for everybody. Just like always have a plan to become bigger or better at something.
Yeah, so I know there's a lot of stuff that we didn't touch and that we... You know,
we could easily do another episode.
Yeah, we could easily
like a month
do
or two,
but,
like easily.
So when we went over to the Teton Leather, we got some rifle straps.
Yes, you right? did.
Yes.
They're awesome.
They're legit.
I put it on my rifle... The last time I went hunting.
Mine's on mine too.
Is it good? Do you like it?
Yep. Yeah, they're nice. And my wife was using my rifle because it was her tag, so she was the one carrying around. Which, you know, cool. So we had to do a little something of our own. I'm going to open them up. Yep. So there's a little thank you for being on our podcast.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Heck yeah. Thank you.
They're made out of silver.
No, they're not. Damn it, John. So it's a little challenge coin for the podcast.
A little challenge coin for the podcast.
That is so cool. Thank
That's
you.
Awesome.
I can't get it out.
These, they're both the same. They're two knives.
Do you want to?
No. I'm going to use this. So I'm going to open it. I just want to show you guys a little.
Oh, that is so cool. Awesome.
Yeah. There's two of them, one for each one of you.
Sweet. Thank you.
That is awesome. Thank you so much.
And of course, we gave you something in a Kydex sheath so you can make a leather one.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have to.
Yep. We figured that would be the case.
A leather sheath blue otter. Have you seen anybody with blue?
Oh, whoa. Our logo's on there.
Wait. Yeah. Wait, what?
Yeah. I thought you guys were saying that because you saw that.
Yeah, that's why that
That's awesome.
I was like, I'll give Zach this first one. I don't want to sit here and hog it. That's so sick. What?
That's super cool.
Oh, that's way cooler than what we gave you. I didn't put your logo on yours.
The stuff you gave us is legit. They're really cool.
Wait, cut this.
But yeah, these are pretty cool. That was the first knife that I designed
for
Tom's.
Do you want a knife?
I'm waiting for him to help me. He's right next to me. Please don't cut me.
You want
to
use mine?
You don't carry a knife?
Gosh, just cut my, I mean, I do. You? I didn't want to carry a knife into a knife shop and be like, this isn't your knife.
He's carrying an Emerson.
One. No, and I carry a bunch of different
knives.
Yeah.
It's normal.
You can do that. I can't do that. I don't own the place. Rubber bands. It made me feel real dumb. Yes.
It's awesome.
Dude, that's so sick. Thank you.
But yeah, so I said like that was the first knife that I designed for Tops when I started.
Is it really?
Yep.
That is awesome. caught my skin a little bit. It's sharp. You let me shave your arm again?
No.
Shave Leo's. Yeah.
No, I was I was really nervous that first time.
Really?
I was.
I shaved his arm.
And Zach's. Right,
yeah, and Zach's.
Yeah, but I'm slightly more used to it.
Can I shave your arm again?
Let her, Zach.
Yeah, can. We got to make sure it's sharp.
Wait. Trying to think if my OCD.
It's recurved. I need to do this arm. Recurved a little bit, so.
Yeah, it's going to be a.
Be careful.
If you don't see this part of the podcast, it's because Zach is bleeding. So.
God, I'm going to have to like.
Oh, that's very steepy angle. Oh, I can't watch this.
Oh, I got some hairs.
John just changed the camera, yeah. Too. Why?
That is a really steep angle, man.
John, change the camera back
put
to
it
them.
Back. It is on them.
Okay.
Oh, gosh.
It's working.
I'm getting mostly dead skin and then, that's a good clump of hair right there. You should be glad you said no. I'm not even looking at this point.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, man.
My whole, okay.
It's shaking. That's a purple.
Yuck.
You should let her wax your arms. So, like, so it grows evenly now?
No, I think the scariest thing is when she had a straight razor and was shaving my neck. I didn't like that.
That's some trust.
Mm. Yeah.
I didn't die.
Yeah, that's
or
good.
Or murdered.
Did he get a nick anywhere?
No. Well.
No, I did nick you.
Not on my neck, though.
Man.
This is somewhere.
Keep that's, smack talking.
I don't even. I've See? Never even. I've never even let a barber do that.
No.
Not on my neck, no. No.
Hey, like you did
the back, the hairline.
Yeah,
like,
he did in Atlanta.
Yeah, but he didn't do my neck.
Yes,
he did.
He did your neck.
Oh,
he
shit.
Did.
That's right.
He yes, did. He did. I was there. Oh,
yeah. You just lied on
We went air, to, man. Yeah, that's right. We did yeah. that at Blade Show 1 year.
So. This that is was, so sick.
Yeah. That was interesting.
I'm going to carry this all the time. I love tiny knives. Ooh, it's cold. Ooh.
Yeah.
Yes. So thank you guys for coming on the podcast. We appreciate that. We appreciate that all. And
this won't be the last time for sure.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can, you know. I don't know, shoot some ideas back and forth one of these days. And
yeah.
So it'll be fun.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. This has been super fun harassing John. I definitely accept another invitation to do that.
I'm going to be busy that day.
We won't tell him that you're coming.
I think I'm going to get sick that
day. Hey, you know what? I'll come see your office next time.
I am going to put a lock on that door now.
That's okay. There's two doors into the offices there, so it's fine.
Oh, well, all of a sudden, I'm working outside.
From
just
home.
Kidding. I'm kidding.
This is awesome. Thank you guys for having us.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Okay.
Again, thank you, guys.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye, guys.
See ya.